Hey, Gabriella, I'm just so excited. This is twice in 6 months we get to talk.
It was funny to me. I was like, wait a second, this is very familiar.
So we're making up for not getting to talk about Megan Levy because we did Blackfish. We didn't get to do Megan Levy. So we did ISS and now we're doing The Grab. So we're making up for lost time here, Gabriella.
I mean, let's do it all. Just give us a couple hours and
And we're
tequila
good.
and that's we're good. We're good for the long haul.
You teased me about The Grab when we talked about ISS. And
Yeah.
you told me I was not going to believe this when I saw it. You were never so right. Gabriella, this documentary, it is killer. It is truly killer. Anybody that has
Wow.
followed history, the centuries of history, it really all comes down to food and water, a land grab, with everything rising and falling throughout history. It's always a land grab
That's right.
and something to do and dealing with water and the land. And so many people, they just focus on the continent of Africa when it comes to water issues. But what
That's
Nate
right.
and you have done here, you make this global and you dot the I's, cross the T's, you thread the needle, just showing us all. We're sitting here in the United States, and even though California, everybody likes to say there is no water. Well, there is water. There's water across the United States, unlike other areas of the world. But now you show us where the water is really going or where the land is going. All of these issues, buying up land in China and buying land here, and foreign companies buying land here in the United States and then draining, pulling our groundwater out. Which, and that I know was a big thing with a report Nate did some years ago about the groundwater being sucked out. So when we do have a drought, we really have a drought because we have no aquifers or groundwater to tap into.
That's right.
You have done such an amazing job putting this all
Thank you.
together and making it so clear and concise for the average layperson to understand everything that is going on. This must have killed you. As hard as you worked on Blackfish, this is your glistening. This is the crown jewel for you in what you've done so far. Gabriella,
Wow.
it's amazing. Amazing.
Thank you so much, Debbie. Thank you so much. I mean, yes, I so appreciate that you sort of like are drinking what we're pouring. You know what I mean? Just sort of like, yes, it is this big. And like, yes, it has this urgency to it, and that which just makes it all the more challenging because it took us almost 7 years to make this. Because Nate's reporting, Nate and the team's reporting, and then, shaping it into a film that takes the better part of a decade, right? If you're going to do it right, and be, really faithful to all the facts, but all the nuance, all the complexity, it's going to take a minute. So it's like, I appreciate that you got that. And, basically what I've wanted to do is sort of communicate the urgency, but also distill it in order to better explain the world. I think we hear things about climate, we hear things about water and aquifers and all this stuff. And I think that, like, environmental documentaries have really done really beautiful jobs of showing us what we're up against with climate change and with kind of global warming. What I wanted to do was take that and sort of put it aside for a second and say, okay, given that that stuff's happening, look at what people are doing as a result of that. Watch how people are trying to capitalize it while we look the other way. And giving this film human agency is insidious as that may feel to a lot of people. Yeah, wow, but people are doing some bad things out there, basically collecting up the planet's final resources out from underneath us without us knowing it. Once you say it's human agency, you realize there's agency in being able to stop it, right? So sort of sometimes environmentalism and climate change and things like that, the way the optics of it are that like the things that we do are too late, and anything we would do to rectify it would be too late, not enough. No, you know, maybe there's not a consensus on exactly what we should do first. You know, so that starts to feel defeatist. And I wanted this to be like, no, stay on the edge of your seats. You know, make sure you're paying attention because this is a completely different film.
Oh, absolutely.
Global geopolitical situation here. And I hope that you know, red states and blue states are all equally seeing that this is a shared story that we're all experiencing. And let's lock arms, you know?
And it's a great primer, I think, for people that really don't know anything and they've had their head in the sand. So what you and Nate have given us, it's really a great primer because I know there are more stories out there and more linchpins because you only had 100 minutes. So I know, I'm sure Nate has many, many, many more things that he discovered down that rabbit hole.
Oh my gosh. It was unreal. And it would just sort of like be, you know, when I first met him, this was not, you know, was not a film. It was a couple stories that had been reported out, like the Arizona story, the China Pig story, and a couple kind of like, he was just sort of sniffing around and a lot of it, you know, some of it led to a theme of starvation, which is kind of what the team thought, what about this as the film? And I was like, you know, I don't necessarily see that as the film. I feel like that falls into that defeatist category in a lot of ways of like, wow, this is dark, you know, road warrior stuff. And what I was more interested in is like, wait a second, there's a side of it. Like this stuff is being grabbed, right? Like resources are actually actively being grabbed by human beings. And it's being done in the shadows.
Yeah.
Like are you guys comfortable with me calling this the grab? Like that's where I think the story is. Here's where I think the most fruitful, you know, areas of reporting are. And thank goodness that like, you know, we all work together on sort of figuring out, okay, let's not make this about, you know, refugees. Let's not make this about climate change. It's like that's not the direction I think we should go. What about this? What about that? And so like working kind of lockstep with this was an incredible experience. I think that, yes, there were so many stories that we could have done. And in fact, stories we completely edited beautifully that I felt they were just captivating, but the movie would be too long.
Mm-hmm.
And it's already a fire hose of a movie. And I know that, you know, I know you're just like, wait a second, get my notepad out. I need to watch this again. I missed like 30% of what was happening.
I mean, you really do. You poke the bear really well.
I had to hit the edit room floor.
You really poke the bear well with this one, Gabriella. And of course, I think that this is prime for a director's cut or a DVD Blu-ray with all these extra stories that I think are very necessary and should come out. But I love the fact that this whole story came to you as a storyteller because Nate does incredible investigative reporting and he really does the deep dive. But it's everything is done with an eye to writing it, putting it in print. And that's a lot different than crafting a visual story. This is where your expertise really shines and really makes this a cohesive story, Gabriella. It's not just disparate pieces stuck together. You've got a through line here that runs beginning to end. How difficult, working with your editor, working with Davis, how difficult and challenging was the edit and finding the actual through line so that we get from point A to point Z cogently?
Yeah, I thought, I kind of did a paper edit for this one, which is just was a beast, you know, to hand this over to Davis and be like, here's our way into this. And so kind of like in my mind, I thought to myself, what I love about investigative reporting films. I mean, I just love investigative reporting films. I like feeling like I'm part of their journey. I feel like I love the, you know, all the President's Men and Spotlight and all the, you know, and the idea that you're like peeling back an onion with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, okay, give us as an audience a feeling of discovery along with Nate, because it was really, really being actively discovered as mm-hmm. we went, right?
Wow.
And Nate and the recording team were actually discovering things. So it's like, and so I thought, you know, that's great and gives you a little bit of a spark underneath you as an audience member, so that you're not being preached to, you know, you're actually part of the investigation. So that was our way in. And then, you know, I think there were times where it was like, this is too much. This is getting sloggy. How do we make this part shine? How do we make this part make sense? It was just such a challenge. I mean, with these types of things, I think any documentary filmmaker will say it's the hardest part is the writing.
Mm-hmm.
There's just nothing that compares. I mean, the you know, Nate, obviously, I did not do the investigative reporting, so Nate's going to say the hardest part was the reporting, and that's exactly right, you know, for him. For me, it was like taking his reporting and saying, like, where does this fit in? Does it fit in at all? What could he report out further that will make it fit in? But for me, it was just like, how do you craft this and make it not any more of a slog than this is, any more of a slog than the world is right now?
Mm-hmm.
So that was really difficult, really difficult.
You've got this almost 7-year journey that you're going on with Nate, and you're traveling the world, and you're getting this footage, that footage. And I want to come back to Eric Prince in a minute here. But at what point do you say, because you guys could have kept going with this. You could have kept digging, and you could have kept shooting, and you could have kept editing. At what point do you say, okay, this is it. This is where we're going to, this is our break point. We're stopping here. That had to be a very difficult decision.
Totally. And it's a difficult decision intellectually. It's a really easy decision practically, because one, everybody wanted their lives back. Two, we ran out of money. Like, we're just like, you can't keep it going forever, you know?
I like that. I like that is the reason. We had no more money. We had to stop.
You can do, right? Keep going. It's real life, right? It keeps going.
Now, you have this put together so that we actually have a very clear face as one of the big villains, and that is Eric Prince. There are so many villains that you could have, that you and Nate could have chosen here. What led you to Eric Prince really being the villainous face that we can identify with? Most people, they've heard of Blackwater, not to be confused with Blackfish. But yeah, we've got Blackwater that I think probably 90% of the people who will see this documentary have heard of.
Right.
But you had so many politicians or CEOs that you could have chosen as this big villainous face, but you went with Eric Prince. I'm curious why.
It's interesting you ask that. I do think there, you know, I think it's the combination of someone who actively has made the decision to go into Africa, knowing that he comes from the world of logistics. He comes from the world of tanks and guns, and knowing, understanding, quote unquote, security. So there's that, right? So he's going to muscle his way into the final frontier of arable land on the planet. He has teams of people who have worked with the ruling elites in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, understanding that world, right? Like, who is it that you're going to pay to be able to say, this is land we can take? So he ostensibly, and his folks or people he works with, or he himself, have those relationships. And then he happens to have really strong relationships with folks in this country. So, and, you know, the powerful elite in this country. So it's just sort of like this trifecta of, in my mind, of perfect recipe mm-hmm. for how to get in effectively and extract resources from a country. And so I think that was what felt so, it was just not only is he a recognizable name, which is obviously important for people to understand, like, what's happening and what this guy is capable of, but it's that he can do all those things that I think made him, I think, the perfect face,
mm-hmm.
I think, for what it takes to actually effectively maneuver a graph. And so he, you know, he has all the variables, and it turns out he's doing it effectively.
Yes, so he is.
That's why we hung our hat on him.
Now, in getting all the footage that you have, especially things involving Eric Prince, you cannot just go walking in and start shooting things, because this is such a huge story, and it really an expose in much of it, especially with somebody like Eric Prince. How do you go in and get the footage that you need and then protect that footage? Because once people start getting a whiff that somebody's looking into them, as somebody with his connections in particular, he's got military at his disposal. He could have hitmen out after you, for all you know. So you have to be very cautious, but then you have to protect, you know, your product, your intellectual property that you now have. How difficult was that for you as you're going around the globe and obtaining information that is not, for lack of a better description, openly in the public domain?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of it is footage that pre-exists that we were able to get and that we were able to license. In terms of the story and figuring out where he is, that's kind of Nate and his team. Mm-hmm. He's got the ability, I think, in some ways to sort of understand and research how, you know, oftentimes where people are maneuvering and where they are. And then there's the really, you know, the reason it took 6 to 7 years was the kind of the globetrotting that we had to do. And the, you know, Nate in particular going to some places, right? Like, and then us all going to Zambia, or trying to get into Zambia and filming all over the country. I mean, you just kind of sign on for what is going to be a lot of travel, a lot of needing to be boots on the ground to completely understand Zambia, a lot of being boots on the ground to completely get an interview with somebody who is going to give you the real. And so I think a lot of it has to do with, for us to make this film had to do with that, you know, just had to do with this expansive travel and signing on for filming every single thing everywhere and then distilling that into like, okay, did we get anything here? You know, did we get anything that actually like answers some questions in this film? Yeah, no, I think research and investigation is where it's how you understand where someone like Eric Prince is and how he maneuvers.
Well, since I have to do a little wrap up here, I'm very curious. Very quickly, I want to ask you before I wrap it up. I want to ask, were you encrypting all of this footage and content as you were moving from country to country so that it would be protected?
No, I don't think we have the ability. We were certainly duplicating things and spreading it out so that we didn't just have one card with a bunch of information on it. I mean, a lot of that is just Joe, Bill, and Emma, two of our investigative reporters, staying up really late every night, being able to transfer footage and make sure we actually got it and that nothing is, that we don't have to go back and do anything again. But we don't have the wherewithal really at that point to make sure that nothing's unhackable, you know?
Last question for you, Gabriella. This, such an undertaking, such a big part of your life for so long now, much more involved than Blackfish was. What have you learned about yourself as a documentary storyteller in making the grab that you will now and can bring forward in your future documentary endeavors?
Yeah, such a good question. I think, honestly, I think to be really, really honest with myself, I think that I do believe that I want my documentaries to do something. I do love entertaining documentaries. I'm an audience. I'm a popcorn chomping audience goer for any entertainment, any day of the week. But I think as a storyteller inside documentary, I like the difficult. I like trying to extract things that don't want to be extracted and tell people things that they don't know. And that is hard and it's exhausting sometimes. And I don't succeed a lot of the times, but I do realize that that's why I'm here as a documentary filmmaker, and it's what gets me up in the morning. So yeah, I think I know now. I think I now know that about myself pretty well.
Well, you definitely, definitely succeed with The Grab. And I sincerely, I do want to see a director's cut or a Blu-ray DVD with all of these extra, all the extra stories that you and Nate have put together. Because as I said, this is a primer. Now there needs to be more for people so that they can now dig in. They've got their basic understanding now. Time to get everybody's boots on the ground and save the land and the water. Because that's going to be our demise, as has been for centuries, is the land grabs and the water grabs. So well done.
Thank you so much.
I love this documentary, Gabriella. I love it.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Debbie. It means a lot, and thank you for being in my corner always.
Always in your corner, Gabriella. So now, are we going to have a third interview this year?
I promise. This is it. This is it for a long time, I think.
Oh, damn.
Not for too long.
Okay.
But no, I don't get anything in the hopper.
All right. Well, rest. You've earned it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Gabriella.